sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace, mercy, and peace be with you this day from Jesus the Christ, who comes to us in peace. Amen. One of the things I really miss during this seemingly endless season of physical isolation from one another, especially in worship, is the children's talk. I think that's why pastor time children's messages that I've been doing on Facebook have been such a priority for me. I really miss, and there's this moment I really miss, and I can't replicate that virtually. And that's when that moment when you're with children, the children up in front of the church, and you need a volunteer. Teachers know what I'm talking about. You know that moment? Our kids here at Bethlehem have these arms that shoot up in the air before I'm even finished asking the question, you know, the question, okay, I need a volunteer. Who would like to volunteer? I'm not even done with that question. They arms up in the air. It doesn't matter if it's going to be something that's work or if it's something that's fun or if it's a mystery. We have kids here who are ready and willing to step up. Isn't that a wonderful image? Ooh, 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 pick me. I love it. Hold that image in your minds. We have a rich gospel text again before us this day. Jesus is looking for good tenants, good stewards. On this Caring for Creation Sunday at Bethlehem, this kickoff of our stewardship month at Bethlehem, I know Christ is looking in our direction. God is looking for good tenants, good stewards of the vineyard. Jesus identifies the Pharisees and the chief priests and scribes as evil tenants and basically says, if you can't produce good fruits, then I'm looking for someone who can. Could we be the ones Jesus is looking for? Is Jesus saying to us, I need a volunteer? Friends, Christ wants to entrust vineyard work to a people who produce good fruit. And Jesus, this moment, is looking over in our direction. Are we willing to be the ones who reach out in the love of Christ? Or simply the recipients of the reaching out? Because frankly, that's there for us too. Friends, we are all recipients of the reaching out of Jesus who rescues us from the powers of sin and death. Jesus is the one in the parable who is killed, actually. Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected, the head cornerstone. And today, Jesus is looking at us and asking, are you willing to help me reach out to those who are in need, those who are hurting, those who are sick, those who haven't yet heard of God's love and forgiveness, those who are hungry and lonely and lost? This is a stewardship text. This is an environmental stewardship text. Are we willing to respond to what God is offering? All that we have is on lease from God. Maybe you hear that all the time, but think of it again. Consider this again. All that we have is on lease from God. Think of it again in terms of this vineyard text. Our triune God, the cosmic landowner, planted the vineyard, like the text says. Our cosmic landowner, triune God, planted the plants and the trees and the animals and the oceans. God planted everything. Then God builds a watchtower. That is a way to see what's coming, a way to protect the vineyard, the earth. The cosmic landowner, in other words, gave us minds to think and learn and understand and study and see what's coming. You see, protect the vineyard, protect all that God has planted. We have the ability to climb up and look out with our intellects. God plants a vineyard, God builds a watchtower, and then God digs a wine press. That is a tool for producing and enabling good things to flow from us and from our hard work. In other words, it's not just our minds, it's not just an intellectual thing. God also gave us bodies, hands and feet and voices and hearts that press and squeeze out good things for this world. Think of your bodies as a wine press this day, crushing out good things for this world. And in so doing, we don't always stay clean. Pressing good things out for the world is exhausting and messy. The wine press is such a great image. There's two ways to press wine back in those days. There were giant rocks that they fashioned that they would use to crush grapes, like the old mills too. You know, they'd just do it with rocks. And that took a lot of back-breaking work. The other way to do it, of course, is people would stomp on grapes, which was a big mess. I'm showing this I Love Lucy clip where she crushes the grapes. Such a great image and clip for the stages, I think, of stewardship as she goes from being sort of grossed out by it to having a really great time. People stomped on grapes. It's a big mess. Our church body, the ELCA, has a signature phrase. Maybe you've seen it or heard it. God's work, our hands. I hope you've heard that. I would add our feet too. God's work, our hands and feet. The wine press, our own bodies, are not ours. They're God's, but the produce comes directly from us. God leased all these things to us. You see, all this responsibility to us. What if we responded like the kids at the children's talk? Oh, pick me, Lord, pick me. I'll go into the wine vat. But something that can happen, and often does, unfortunately, even at an early age, there's always some who don't raise their hands. And we can most definitely lose this enthusiasm and this willingness. What's happening there? Why is that? Sometimes it's because we've got other things to do. Sometimes we just don't want to. Sometimes we don't think ourselves good enough or smart enough or eloquent enough or wealthy enough or connected enough or time-free enough. You know, we're so busy. Sometimes it's an even deeper doubt of ourselves. Something's been lost. That inner spark is being hid under a bushel. Sometimes it's a bitterness that I've already served. I've already done my part. Others should step up or serve or give more. I think I've shared before my experience with Bishop Graham in our synod. I was so impressed with him when I came to this synod and so excited that he was going to be my bishop. And then as soon as I got here, he announces his retirement. Oh, no. But I got to watch Bishop Graham talk about this process of becoming bishop and encourage people to put their names forward. And I guess, I don't know if it's true among all pastors, but I know I've been in this habit of kind of joking about who would want to be bishop. I mean, the Lutheran bishop doesn't have a lot of power. It's not lots more money. And so you don't have power, you don't have money. Why would anybody want to be the bishop? And Bishop Graham spoke so well about the gift of serving the church in this particular way and encouraged people. If you feel that you have gifts in this area, step forward. He said, I don't want to make the joke like, all right, who wants to do it? Who wants to step up? It was really encouraging for me to hear him talk like that. And I've gone on to think about council positions in that same way. You know, we think of it as like, okay, everybody has to pay their toll. Everybody has their part that they need to do. So who's going to do it? Who's going to be on council? Rather than seeing it as this wonderful gift, this opportunity to step into the wine press, get a little dirty, and actually, what a joy it can be. I just offer that as an image. This is a powerful lesson for us today. There are so many distractions, both internally and out there in our crazy, dangerous, sick, divided world. These distractions come along, these voices come along, and I wonder if it's almost like God's checking to see if we'll lose track of what we're all about, of who we are. Are you going to remember what I said to you at the very beginning? God is, so I wonder if God's almost kind of just checking to see. I've been saying with more and more confidence lately that I've never felt so called in these times as the Church of Jesus Christ in the world. I've never felt that we had such a clear mission. It is hard to get our voice out there. That's definitely true. But our message, I've never felt, it couldn't be more relevant. The world needs what we are offering, friends in Christ. I often feel like our voice, the church's voice, you know, the sermons and the songs and the prayers that we put out there, it's hard to hear. Like, I've been using this, like, it's like a screaming mouse. Like, did you hear something? I don't. But what we should be saying and doing has never been clear to me. Just read the Gospel of Matthew. We're in this year of Matthew that talks about clothing the naked, visiting the sick and the imprisoned, feeding the hungry, nurturing the children, welcoming the stranger, proclaiming and practicing forgiveness and mercy and generosity and justice and peace. Maybe you've heard this line that the church doesn't need a mission. God's mission needs a church. God's church doesn't need a mission. God's mission needs a church. We can get so caught up in all the drama, all the fury, all the pettiness, the overwhelming concern for our own selves and our own safety and security. Oh, I know of a church right now, not in this part of the country, but I know of a church right now that is only concerned, this is my judgment, but they are only concerned for their own survival. Nobody in that church, in my judgment, is saying, pick me, Lord, pick me. It seems to me they are angry, they are bitter, they're scared, they're grasping at every little thing that they can to stay afloat. It is the saddest picture of a church losing its mission. My friend is the pastor. He's trying to help them see. And it is just so sad how we can forget this invitation to stewardship and be more like the Pharisees and the scribes, how we can miss this opportunity to respond to God's goodness that God is offering us here, to be the ones to raise our hands, not just dutifully, but even enthusiastically like the children. I'll go, pick me, I'll get in. I'll crush the grapes. Sisters and brothers in Christ, as broken and imperfect as we might be, we are the church for God's mission. Clothing the naked, visiting the sick and the imprisoned, feeding the hungry, nurturing the child, welcoming the stranger, proclaiming and practicing forgiveness. Bethlehem is called to be a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. And in so many ways, we already do. I was thinking and giving prayers of thanks this week, just thinking about people at Bethlehem that in so many ways already are crushing out good things for this world, producing the fruits of the kingdom. I visited Ruth Ulig and got to visit with her this week, just talking with her. Her generosity and her kindness just flows. 100 years old, and she's still at it, sharing this goodness and mercy and kindness. Mike Crum and Marva Ben, their care for the beauty in the sanctuary. Ramona Daly is opening our eyes at Bethlehem to racism and white supremacy. She's not the only one, but she's calling us always to a deeper care for one another. A deeper care. Tim Hartman's passion for keeping us, for keeping this church safe, it's inspiring. Allison O'Connor, 11 years old, her gift of music and all her good, hard questions at Bethlehem during children's time. I miss that so much. Pastor, why is there so much killing in the Bible? So good. Marie Reed, she picks up a phone and she checks in with so many during this time of isolation. Richard Kalb's continued dedication of time and organizations and resources to facets and to feeding hungry people. Ann Schultz's witty sense of humor. John Myers hugs. He just doesn't hesitate to say, I love you. Kristen Haynes. There's so much I could say. Oh my goodness. You see the risk? All the people that I'm not naming here, right? It's a risk to name people, I know. But this is just a few of Bethlehem's wine pressers crushing out good things for God's church and God's world. And I know that all of you are pressing out good things for God's world because we are already the church of God's mission. Amen? God knows that none of us are ideal tenants, perfect stewards of everything that God has given us. God knows, and we know, that we've all fallen short and we've got more work to do. But look at what God has already done here. Just here with us. I love the line in our text. It says, this is the Lord's doing. It is amazing in our eyes. Yes. Look at all the amazing things God has blessed us with here. And wherever you are, it's not just about Bethlehem either. Wherever you are, it is amazing in our eyes, isn't it? There's an aspect of biblical stewardship that's often forgotten. It's the spirit of joy that accompanies the giving. Again, with that I Love Lucy clip, you know, it starts out and she's bitter and kind of disgusted as she gets into the grapes. And then you start to see her starting to have fun. And then not just fun. I mean, what we love about the clip is she just starts dancing around in there with the other woman. And dancing with the other woman. I think this is such a powerful image for biblical stewardship. It's often forgotten that there's this spirit of joy. Reaching out, tending the vineyard. It's always hard work. Yeah, it's messy. But it's also accompanied by an indescribable joy. Experiencing joy and sacrificing. It's one of the most difficult things I've ever had to explain. In fact, I can't. I'm using a clip here to talk about it. It's sort of like golf. or crushing grapes. You have to try it to get it. You have to just try reading to children, for example, or picking up trash on the ground. I can't explain how that is so joy-filled. Visiting inmates in prison. You have to just try it. Signing a percentage of your paycheck over to God before you do anything else with it. It's biblical stewardship. You have to just try taking extra time from your job to be with your kids who need you. Try just listening to a friend who is grieving, or donating time at Facets or Lamb Center. Each of these examples of tending the vineyard are difficult, sometimes literally backbreaking, always messy. But because God smiles at the church accepting the mission, we smile too. You see that joy? It's contagious. God's joy becomes our joy. That's how it works for us resurrection people of the cross. Joy abounds. Like the joy of children jumping up and down, saying, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me to light the candle. In spite of, we press on. In spite of all these things, we press on. That's how we roll at Bethlehem. In spite of, we press on. God made the wine press, and we squish out good things for the world. We press on. In spite of all that would tear us down, we press on. In spite of all that would distract us, we press on. In spite of evil and danger in the world, we press on. In spite of white supremacy and all the work we have to do to condemn it. In spite of attacks on us and our community, we press on. In spite of environmental abuse, animal abuse, and forest abuse, Chesapeake Bay abuse, air abuse, we press on. In spite of families breaking apart, we press on. In spite of ourselves, our own brokenness, selfishness, inabilities, we press on. We press on in God's mission because Jesus is there with us. Because nothing, not even death itself, can separate us from the love that Christ has for each of us. Because God has called us to be the church in mission. Because we are soaked in those powerful waters of baptism and will never be the same because of it. Because we are fed and nourished with the body and blood of Christ's own self at this table where all are welcome. The earth is God's. The winepress, I'm pointing at you and me, the winepress is God's. And it is amazing in our eyes. And so we give thanks with our whole lives. We press on because whether we live or whether we die, we belong to God. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.